Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.
If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. I quoted this verse last Sunday when Brother Dan was preaching, and this is the first Sunday of the year that I am preaching, so this is going to be my New Year's message. We read to you Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. We know that the days are evil. We can turn on the television and we can see the many sad things going on around us today. It seems like that with the modern contraptions we have, television and radio, the whole world is at our fingertips, and the things that possibly we were hidden from for many years are now right in our face, and we see how evil the world can be. But according to the apostle, and I'm sure that the days for us in America right now are not near as evil as they were for the apostle Paul in that day with what was going on in the persecution of Christians. But in the midst of this, the apostle encourages us to redeem the time. Now, as I mentioned last Sunday, it's a good thought for us in this coming year to try to focus upon using our time in the best way that we possibly can. Redeeming the time doesn't mean that we can buy time. We can't buy any more time. There's no way that we can construct any more time in our lives than what we are allotted. But redeeming the time means that we are to make the best use of the time that God has given us. And as the apostle says here, and we're going to see other places in the scriptures, this is wisdom. It is wisdom for us to use the time that God has given us in our lives for its intended purpose. And of course, that is to glorify God. I remember that when we were approaching the millennium, it was coming the year 2000, and we were all wondering, what is going to happen? Are the computers going to crash? Is the world going to change because we're approaching a new millennium? And I remember talking to preachers about it, and there were people out there with all these scary stories about the bad things that were going to happen if the computers failed. Everything else was going to fail with it, and your car might not even make it down the road because the computer in your car might be set to turn off when it got to the end of 1999, and everybody was wondering. But we turn around and we look now, it's 2017, and that just seems like yesterday. And time is something that seems to stand still when we're young. But the older we get, the more it seems like it's just fleeting by. It's just going so fast. You look back and you say, wow, I cannot believe that we're already this far along in life. And as you get older, it really is kind of bothersome because you realize how quickly we age. And you look in the mirror and you say, you know, I don't look quite as good as I did many, many years ago. This time thing has a way of effacing everything around us, even our own looks. So it is wise for us in our lives to try to make the best use of the time that God has given us. In James 4:14, I think I remember I quoted this also last Sunday, that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then it vanishes away. A vapor is just a little puff of smoke. I remember reading this commentary that this hunter had in A Look at Life from a Deer Stand is the name of the book by Steve Chapman. And he said he was sitting in his deer stand one day and he was breathing out and it was really cold and he saw this vapor go out and he thought about this verse. And each time he breathed out, he said, well, there goes grandfather, there goes grandmother, there goes other friends, and there go I. And that's the way it is. We look back on our life and I understand now what people have meant when they said they look back and it seemed like their life had just flown by. I used to couldn't really identify with that when I was young, because it seems like when you're young, time just drags on. Nothing changes. You're just waiting for some big thing to happen in your life. and you turn around and you see that your life is really passing by very rapidly. But when we think about redeeming the time in our own personal lives and using it as wisely as we possibly can, I would ask you a solemn question this morning. When your life is over and you've used all of your time, what will be said of you? What would your testimony be? How you use the life that God has given you under the sun. I guess we might say it in another way, and I thought about this. How is God writing your history in the sacred scroll to be read one day before the redeemed family of God? To me, when we wake up every morning and as we live our lives, that should be the primary concern of every one of us, is what will be said of us by God when our life is no more. And we look back at that time in our life when our days are no more, and we say, what have we used all of that time for? Have we used it wisely? Time is as valuable as silver and gold. You know, how would you feel if you were out of time today? You would say, well, boy, I wish I could buy some more time if today was my last day. So we see how very valuable the time is to every one of us. What would you do if somebody told you this morning you've only got a few minutes left in your life, and so for these last few minutes, you have an opportunity to do a few things? What would you do? Would you possibly pick up the phone and call somebody and tell them you love them? Would you write some things down in a diary that it might be remembered of you when you're gone by maybe your family members? Would you call the bank? Would you make a deposit? What would you do if you were told that you only had a few minutes left? Well, in one sense, that's the way that we should be living. If we're redeeming the time, we should be living our lives as if this is the last day of our life. Now, it's good to think about a time that today could be the first day of your life. Sometimes we've made some mistakes, and we've got some regrets and some things in our past, and we want to put that behind us. And so it's good to consider today as the first day of your life. But it's also to be wise to think about today that it might be the last day of your life, and for us to be thinking about the way that we should be living our lives. You know, time is like land, as one person said. They're not making any more of it, and there's only a certain amount of it to be had. And it's certainly true for us in our own personal lives, is there's not any more time being made for us. We're only allotted so many minutes, so many seconds, so many hours, so many days, so many months in our life. And so if we're wise, then we're going to take that time and use it as best as we can. One person said this, I got a quote about some time. He said, if our time in ministry count for anything today, we must solemnly resolve to make time for God. And that is true. If our lives count for anything that's worth anything, then we must make time for God. And it amazes me as even a minister that sometimes I find it's difficult for me to make the proper time or use my time in the proper way. I have come to recognize, I talked to Brother Dan and we were texting this morning and he said he was studying on the way to church today. I'm telling on you. But, you know, he's going to be speaking tonight. And so he only has an allotted amount of time to get that sermon in his mind and heart and pray over it. I've done that many times. Marilyn's driven for me when I've been going over some scriptures and trying to have my message ready. But you have an allotted time to do some things. And preparation is a wonderful thing. And we should all prepare for whatever we're going to be doing, especially when we're preaching from God's word. But it does require some use of our time. We've got to be able to manage time. And there are some people that just have problem managing time. They just can't manage it. They can on certain things that they really are interested in. But you find that when it comes to managing time for other things, the time is not managed. And so it's very important for us to recognize that managing our time is really a godly resource. something that every one of us should be able to do. And so I believe that sums up the primary meaning of our text, the firm resolve to make time for God, to redeem the time and to make the best use of it. Now, for some, I think there is something that should be thought about here, because I know that there was a time in my life that I didn't make time for God. I didn't make time for church. I didn't make time for prayer. I didn't make time for reading the Word of God. I didn't make time for meditating upon any scriptures. My time was all for me. It was all what I wanted to do, seeking pleasure and things that I enjoyed doing personally. But I can tell you that when we begin to use our time for God, we find a much richer life. We find a greater peace, and we find a greater understanding of our purpose here and our relationship with God. Because remember that God is the one that gives us our time in the first place, doesn't he? Every minute that we have here is a special blessing and a special grace that is given to us by God. And it is one of the greatest graces that we can have in life, is to have time to do the things that the Lord has blessed us to do. One old Southern gentleman said this. I was reading about time, and he said, "I used to come over to your town quite often in the old days. It was a day's round trip by horse and buggy." He said, "I can do that now in an hour, but I don't have time." Isn't that about the truth of it, that we have so many modern conveniences today, but we just don't have time for things? I was thinking about all the things that we've got today. We've got cars and electric stoves and gas stoves and vacuum cleaners, modern washing machines, and any kind of gadget you could imagine. I got a friend at work that's got this gadget he cuts his hair with, and he puts it in a vacuum cleaner type thing over his head, and he turns it on, and it cuts his hair. He didn't even have to go to the barber shop. But yet we don't have time to do so many things. I remember my grandmother telling me that they used to go down to Macedonia for the association, and they got in a wagon, and she would cook or prepare the meal. They ate potluck. And she prepared the meal and placed it in the wagon and put a blanket over the meal, and they got in the wagon, and I forgot how long she said it took them to get from Donelson down to Macedonia for the meeting. But yet we find today that people just don't have time. They've got all the things they need, but they just don't have time. I think that we need to stop and think about it, that all these inventions that God has given us, that if we were to make the best use of them, that it would allot us more time to do the things that he wants us to do with the time that he has given us. So you think about these blessings that God has given us, and so we should be using those to better our relationship with him. One person said, "Time is neither our friend nor our enemy. It is something that gets measured out to us to see what we will make of it." And that is so true. Now, time can become our enemy if we don't manage our time, but it can be a very good friend for us when we're using it in the way that God has intended for us. And so he's measuring out our time. I thought about time. It's kind of like this hourglass. And every one of us have so many grains of sand in that hourglass. And so all of us, our hourglass is now dropping grains of sand to the bottom of the hourglass. And when all that sand is gone from the hourglass, our time will be no more. Now, we don't know, none of us know how many grains of sand that we have in our hourglass. But there is only a certain amount of sand in there. I can promise you that nobody has an hourglass that's not going to run out of sand. As I always try to mention to you, that we all have this expiration date. We just don't know exactly what it is. And so we see then how it is important for us to recognize that and to use this time to honor the Lord. Now, we look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and I want to turn over there with you for just a few moments because this is a very interesting passage of Scripture that refers to wisdom. And wisdom has to do with us using our time in the proper way and knowing what times and seasons that we are coming to in our lives. In Ecclesiastes 3, it says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." So there are many purposes and seasons in our lives. And he says, a time to be born, a time to die. Now, some of the things that we see that are seasons and times we have no control over. But there are many things that are seasons and times in our life that we do have control over. There is a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Now, every farmer knows that there is a time to plant. They watch, they may have the farmer's almanac, or they may just know what month it is. I remember Marilyn's father used to say that he never planted his garden until Good Friday. And it seemed to have a pretty good garden, so that worked for him. But farmers, by wisdom, are able to plant at the right time and harvest. And if you're a hunter, you know what time of the season it is to go turkey hunting. You know when the turkeys are going to gobble. You know when the deer are going to be moving. You know when the squirrels are out. You've got times and seasons in your mind. You know those times and seasons. But you know there's more times and seasons than those things. There are other things in our lives that may even be more important than that, that we should understand the times and the seasons for. There is a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. Now, I'm not going to go over all of those this morning, but I will tell you that wisdom is found in knowing when it is time to do some things and a time not to do some things. And it basically tells us to redeem the time, knowing the times and the seasons in our personal lives. Yes, there is a time to play. I think that every person should have something that they enjoy doing, some kind of recreation. One person said that's what keeps us young. Whether you may like to plant a garden, or you may like to go do some kind of hunting, or you may like to fish, or you may like to go for a stroll, or you may like to sew. Whatever it is, play music, whatever you like to do, there needs to be a time for that, that you can enjoy that and relax and enjoy it. But my friends, there are other times and seasons that, as I said before, are possibly more important than those times and seasons, and we as God's people should recognize those times. One person said there's a time to look at God's creation and just enjoy the handiwork of God. There is a time to read, to laugh, to pray, to meditate. A time to love. You know, we need to take time to love. Sometimes we look around and somebody we loved is no longer there. We need to take the time to tell people that we love them, that we appreciate them, and what they mean to us, because they may not be there the next day. There's a time to be with our friends and family, and there's certainly a time for us to be alone with God. So we need to use our time wisely. Job said that there is a time to die. Now, we all know that to be true, but yet so many times we are not even thinking about that. I think that some people approach those latter days and it is a mystery to them that they're actually going to pass off from planet Earth. I love the story in the Old Testament where we find that Joseph called in his grandsons, or was it Jacob? I think it was Jacob that called in his grandsons. And he leaned on his staff and he told them, or blessed both of them, and then he died. He knew his time was short, and the very last few moments of his life, he spent worshiping God and talking to his grandchildren and making that preparation. And Job said, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? And so he's talking about the hourglass is what he's talking about, that we have an appointed time. Now, there are times in our life that we go through certain experiences. There are times in our life that we are afraid of things. You know, I like what David said in Psalms 56 and 3. He said, "He said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." Now, there's times that every one of us are anxious about things. That's a time that you will pass through sooner or later in your life. And sometimes fears can become great mountains for us. But David is pointing to the source of our peace and comfort at times that we are afraid. And as I said, there is also this time of old age where David says, cast me not off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength faileth. So old age is something that kind of creeps upon you, as I'm recognizing. I can't do everything that I used to could do, and that has bothered me greatly over the years. But I stop and think about it. Well, if I can't do it, all my friends that are my age, they can't do it either. if they have trouble sleeping at this age, then I do, and then they're having the same problems. So I've got people and friends around me that are growing old with me, and we're all growing old together, and so we have to just accept that part of life. And, you know, it's very difficult to accept some of these changes in our lives and these times and seasons that we go through, except we look at the Word of God, and it reminds us that we are appointed to all of these times and seasons, and so we just need to get a little bit more comfortable as these things come upon us and as we go through these times and seasons in our own lives. We find the apostle uses this same admonishment to the church at Rome in 13th chapter, if you want to turn over there. It's verses 11 through 13. He says, And knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. So the apostle is admonishing this church at Rome, and he's kind of pointing out some things that are wise and things that are not wise, some things that we should be doing as we're using our time in a good way, and some things that we should not be doing if we're using our time in the wrong way. And as I searched out this subject of time, and I thought about it when Dan was preaching last week, and I thought about this being the beginning of the year, I was going through the scriptures and looking at all of the notations that the Bible gives of time. Did you know that the demons know that there is a time that Jesus Christ is coming back, and that at that time, when Jesus comes back, that they're going to be cast into hell. While they're here, they are causing people as much problem as they can. For instance, when Jesus was going to cast the devils out of the wild Gadarene, we read over in the book of Matthew, they said, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Now, there is a time that the Lord is coming back, and that should be something that is upon our minds as well when we're thinking about how we're using our time. It could be tomorrow. I mean, we should be living today as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. That's the wisest way that we would be living our time, and that we would be able to look him in the face and say, "Yes, I have used my time in the way that you have wanted me to use my time." And Jesus spoke about that time, the end of time, many times. For instance, in the book of Matthew, again in the 13th chapter, he's talking about the harvest. He speaks of that time when he comes back as being a harvest time. And speaking of the tares and the wheat, of course, represented his people, and the tares were those that did not belong to him. And he said, "Let them both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, go ye together first. Gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles and burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we understand as Christians that that is going to be a glorious time. We're looking forward to that time when Jesus Christ comes back and he gathers his wheat into the barn and carries his people off to be with him in glory one day. That time is coming. And when we read the scriptures, we see that, and we know that every day it's closer to that time, and we anticipate that time. I thought about how Jesus Christ used his time. That's also a great encouragement for us when we're thinking about how we're using our time. How did Jesus use his time? Well, we can be sure of one thing. Everything that Jesus Christ did was pleasing to his Father, wasn't it? He never used a minute that wasn't used in a purposeful way. And he used his time in helping others. He used his time for the redemption of his people. He spoke many times about how his time was marked out. For instance, in Mark 1 and 15, he said, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The time is at hand. The time that was spoken of in the Old Testament where the Messiah would come. He would come to his people. The time is at hand. Believe the gospel. And my friends, I can tell you this, that time is still today. Whenever the gospel is preached, the time is at hand. It's a time to respond to it. It is an opportunity that has been given to you of God to believe what he has said about himself and about what he has done for you and what is expected of you as one of his people. The time is always at hand when the gospel is preached. He knew that his time was also come as the cross stood before him. That was an appointed time of the Father, a time that Jesus Christ would die for the sins of his people. In Matthew 26, he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is come. My time is come. That was not a time that Jesus Christ looked forward to, although in one sense, I believe he did look forward to it. I know that he saw the cross before him. I know that he saw the suffering. We see his agony in Gethsemane, where he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, where he prayed to the Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. He looked at the cross, knowing the shame and the pain that he would be enduring. But yet, my friends, I believe that Jesus Christ looked at that time with great anticipation, knowing that it was appointed to him to die, that he would fulfill the covenant that was made between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit before the world began. And even though that he would suffer, he would rejoice. Many times in the scriptures we read about this being compared to a woman in travail. How that she knows that she is about to give birth to a child. She dreads the pain. She knows she's going through it. But yet she rejoices. And knowing that now she is going to have that precious child in her arms. And be able to love the child. And so a beautiful illustration of a time. Not only for a woman. But also for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When he suffered upon the cross. I like what it says in Psalms 102 because it speaks of a time when the Lord is going to bless his church. Now, I believe the church is blessed every day. But I believe there are times of revival among God's people. There's times of falling away and there are also times of revival. And in Psalms 102:13 it says, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. Now that may specifically be speaking about the time when Christ came, because that was a set time. But I believe that there are times and seasons in which the Lord does bless Zion in a very, very special way. We should all be anticipating that time, praying for that time to see a revival among God's people. What a blessing that that would be. And when you think about time, you know, sometimes we're not on time. Sometimes we are hindered to be somewhere on time. But we know that God has always been on time, hasn't he? My friends, God's never been late for anything. I hear some people talking about God trying to do something, and maybe God was late for something, and or maybe he didn't. I heard somebody say that Jesus came down from heaven to set up a kingdom, and he didn't accomplish that, and he's going to come back one day and do it. I'm thinking, is this the God of the Bible? That he tried to come down here and do something and couldn't do it, and he's going to come do it later? That's not the God that I hear about in the Bible. But God is always on time, and he has some appointed times, and he will see to it that it happens on time. We read in the Bible about some of those things. Remember when we read in the book of Genesis how that God promised Abraham that Sarah would have a son at an appointed time? And so Abraham became very anxious about it, and he decided he was going to go out and do something on his own. And so we get Ishmael instead. And God said, no, I got an appointed time. God didn't change his time because Abraham was impatient. And he keeps coming back to Abraham and saying, at an appointed time, at an appointed time, at an appointed time. And finally, you'd think that he'd get the picture. But at the appointed time, the promised son was conceived and born into this world. There was a time that God promised that Israel would come out of Egypt. It was an appointed time. God knew the time. And when the time came, he got Moses, and Moses came, and he was one of the deliverers for God's people out of Egypt. And I know that there is an appointed time when the Lord's going to come back here with 10,000s of his saints, the Bible says. That is an appointed time. Nothing can hinder it. Nothing can change it. Nothing can stop it. The Lord's got a time. We don't know when it is. Nobody knows when it is. If somebody knocks on your door and say, we know when it is, or you get a letter in the mail and say, we've learned by really reading the scriptures that here's the time Jesus is coming back. Don't believe it, because nobody knows the time. The angels don't know. Nobody knows. The Lord knows. And he'll come back at that set time. But you know, there's something that we should think about in our own personal lives when we're talking about redeeming the time. And that is that God has some times appointed for every one of us. For you, my friends. He's given you some times in your life to do some things. And you know, there are some times in our life that we haven't done the things on time that God has asked us to do on time. And when we are not walking circumspectly, as he says, and we're not doing things in the time frame that God wants us to do them, then we are at great loss concerning some blessings that we let pass over our heads in our own personal lives. You look at the scriptures and you can see that the greatest blessings and rewards are found when things are done according to God's schedule. He has a schedule. You look in the Old Testament and you see that Lot should have gotten out of Sodom and Gomorrah long before he did. But you see, my friends, Lot wasn't living on God's schedule. He was living on Lot's schedule. He was enamored with Sodom and Gomorrah. He was more interested in money and fame and being an important person than he was at pleasing God. He looked at the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah and chose that place for his family to dwell. You look at the life of David. You know, David was a man after the Lord's own heart. Don't think that people who belong to God can't make some bad decisions when it comes to where they should be and where they should not be. And we read in that chapter, it says that there was a day when kings went out to battle. But it says, but David tarried. What does that mean? He wasn't where he was supposed to be. He was late. He should have gone on to battle. And he looks down and he sees Bathsheba. Well, you can be sure that Satan's going to have something for you. When you are not on God's schedule, he'll have something to distract you and to lead you in the wrong direction. And we see what happened to David, the sins he committed because of that. If he would have just been on time, he would have been a far happier man. There was a time for Israel to cross over Jordan. What a miracle that God led them through the wilderness. They drank from a rock out in the middle of a desert. He fed them with quail when there were no quail around. He gave them the hoary frost or the manna from heaven to eat. And here they come to this place that God had led them to. And I mean, they got there pretty quickly when you think about people walking across a desert. Protected them. Not one of them had been taken. And here they are standing on Jordan, looking over to their promised land. All they had to do was walk over on God's schedule, on time, and take a country that was full of wells that they did not dig, vineyards they did not plant, and they could have had it all, but what happened? They wanted their own schedule rather than following God's schedule. And because they didn't follow God's schedule, all of the adults wandered in the wilderness and died. 40 years they wandered in a circle, around and around and around and around and around. And it was the young ones that came over and inherited the land. And as I see that circle, I see them burying their loved ones. And here they come around the circle the next time they come around, and there's so-and-so's tomb. They come around that circle another time, there's somebody else's tomb, and all around and around, and they keep seeing all the dead. And when you'd think that this is going to sink in their heads. And the young ones, when they came over, they possessed the land. My friends, God has a schedule for you on some things. He opened your eyes and your heart to some truths of His Word. And when God gives you something, He's giving you a schedule. He's not giving it to you to put off or to wait on another day. He's giving it to you that you can walk circumspectly and not as fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. I think there's a lot of God's people that today are walking in a wilderness. They've had an opportunity to cross over Jordan, to enter into the land of Canaan. But yet they're kind of like they were back in that day. There's giants in the land. It's really not that important, when really it's important to God. If He's opened up the gospel to you and you've seen Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've seen yourself as nothing but a sinner, unworthy of the least of the merits and mercies of God. If God has ever given that to you, my friends, then He's calling upon you. He's giving you light upon His Word. He's giving you a time frame. He's giving you an opportunity to use this hourglass, the sands in your hourglass, in the most profitable way that you can use them in your life, which is to honor Jesus Christ and to walk in a way that's worthy of Him. This year, I encourage you to redeem the time. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstance is, you know what it is. And you know what God has given you. And you know what your schedule is. It's up to you to be wise, to know the times and seasons of your life, and to start this year in the best way possible, and that is to honor God. I thank you for your attention today. Trust you've received a blessing from our message. If you're here today and you'd like to be a part of this church, we encourage you to come forward as we stand and sing.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching for regular Sunday morning services.